For when you died on the cross, we died with you. When you rose again from the dead, we were raised with you. When you ascended into the heavens to be seated at the right hand of the Father, we ascended with you. Far above all principalities and all powers and all the rulers of the darkness of this world. Because of your victory, we are saved, we are healed, we are delivered, we are set free. Father, we thank you for your loving kindness and your tender mercies. We thank you for the gift of our champion, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We are thankful for the Holy Spirit that dwells in us, infuses us. We are thankful that because of your loving kindness and your tender mercies, we are opportuned and graced with the presence of the fullness of the Godhead. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, blessed be your holy name, Father. We thank you for your everlasting love. As we study your word tonight, speak to us. Reveal yourself to us. Make us new creations for your glory and honor. We take our rightful place in you and we celebrate the gift of life that you've given to us. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen. Praise the Lord. It is good to have you here this evening. This is our last Bible study for this month. Next month, we will not have a Bible study, neither will we have a Bible study in August. However, the leadership meeting for Wednesday, which is the first Wednesday, is still going to hold, and we'll have a joint prayer meeting on the 1st with everyone, leaders and non-leaders. We want to focus our attention on praying for our dear country, Canada. Amen. So that's July 1st. I know it's a holiday, but the statement the Lord made to me many years ago when he sent me out to, I believe it was the Philippines. That was the Philippines. He said, I want you to go to the Philippines and I want you on such and such and such a date. I said, but Lord, it's my birthday. And he asked me a very simple question. He says, why were you born? that was the last time I asked that kind of a question. For the next 3-4 birthdays, I was not in this country. I was somewhere in the world. But I'm thankful that we can have a special day as Canada Day, and we can pray for our nation, Canada, on the 1st. So do all of your barbecuing and all that you need to do, and you'll show up for prayer meeting. And once again, the first Wednesday, leadership is still going to hold, okay? So please plan on that. That'll be July the 6th. Okay. Let's go to the Word of God and study from Colossians chapter 2. We're in the second chapter of Colossians. Colossians chapter 2. I'm going to pick it up from verse 8, even though we've already addressed verse 8. I'll start from there today. It says here, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. This is a very powerful statement, and one that we can relate to, because we're living in a world where there are all kinds of ideologies and thoughts. The other day I saw a sign saying, "God celebrates my abortion." Well, the things that people assign to God. And I can go on and tell you of all kinds of crazy things happening in our world. Ideologies, philosophies. But God says, beware lest any man. That means that there is some kind of power behind the philosophies, the love of wisdom of man. And there are people who spend much of their time studying all kinds of ideas. And they study it so that they are smart, informed, but do not understand that in some of the things that they are pouncing on, that they are thoughts, diabolical, devilish thoughts embedded in it. You may start out in areas that seem to be okay, but it leads you into a pathway of destruction. The Word of God says, there is a way that seems right unto a man, but the end of that way is destruction. God doesn't want us not to learn, of course. So he says, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit. We're the smart ones. We are enlightened. So don't let anybody spoil you. When it says spoil you, that means take you out of what is really important. Bring a flaw into your life. There's so many that are flawed by what they have embraced into their thinking. Now, for example, you might be surprised I might talk about it's not even a theory of evolution, for example, and the pursuit towards that, and the agenda behind that thought is to sideline God so that man is not responsible to God, because man just came out of a big bang. The reality is, man as we know man to be today is 6,000 plus. But that does not mean that the earth is 6,000 years old. Now, there are those who think that it is 6,000 years old. But the fact is, before this world of Adam and Eve, there was a world before this. It was destroyed. Now, all that existed in that world, I don't know. And that world could have existed for millions of years. So in real terms, maybe just this, what we have here, is millions of years old. But this, if I can capture all of it as a generation, this generation of man as we are today is 6,000 plus years. Now, we may argue about the length or the whatever of the world, and there'll be good arguments left and right. But the argument that we cannot address is this. How is it that evolution happened and everything in your eye is in proper order? Do you know how complex your eye is? Just the eye. Not to talk about the complexities of your hearing. Evolution brought all of that about. Everything fell into order by evolution. The distance between the sun and the earth. The orderliness of all the planets. That everything is in perfect order. And if it just moved 1 degree, we'll all be toast. That everything is in proper order. And you open your big mouth and you say, evolution, the Big Bang. The Big Bang and the sun just stopped exactly at the right spot. And the earth stopped just exactly at the right spot. And Mars, shim, right, everything right at the right spot. Oh, the craziness of thinking that there is no God. When the Word of God is very clear that He holds everything in His hands. Everything is in order because of the presence and the power of God. I'm smart. I know about this creature over here. You know, they get one bone. Just one bone. And they create this humongous creature and give it a name. Wow. You can allow yourself to be bamboozled by all of that. Because for me to believe in evolution, that everything just showed up without a master creator, that takes more faith. And not just me. The little pussycat. How complex is that? All the fish. Can you imagine all the fish? Go to some aquariums and see all kinds of fish and the amazing vibrant colors and say, it just happened. Evolution came. It just happened. Craziness. No, a God who knows all things, a God of design, a God of purpose, a God who knows what's beautiful, made it all. So the Word of God says, don't allow this foolishness to spoil you. Vain deceit. I know this and I know that. After the tradition of men, and after the rudiments of the world and not after Christ. It says, beware. Watch out for smart Alex who think they know everything. They got this new idea. Don't get fooled. It says, for in him, in God, dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. In Jesus dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Now, it goes on and says, and ye are complete in him which is the head of all principality and power. Let's go back to verse 9. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Now, when Jesus was here, he emptied himself of his godness. Philippians tells us that. So what time is he talking about here? For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Are you ready for this? When he talks about the fullness of the Godhead bodily, he's talking about his body. But who is his body? His church. God has not emptied the church of God. But rather, when we walk in obedience to his word, he comes and he abides in us. Ephesians 3 tells us that. And so because the fullness of the Godhead dwells in him bodily, and his bodily is his church, for he's the head and we are his body, it says, ye are complete in him. You are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. All principality and power. Now, this is a very important point, because there are principalities and there are powers and there are rulers of the darkness of this world. But this principality and power is his church. When the church takes its rightful place, it becomes the principality. We kick out the devil and his cohorts, and we become the ones who are in charge. Praise the Lord. The best illustration I can give to you to this is this. Remember, in January, we're having special meetings, and during the meetings, I got ill. But it's a strange thing, because I was ill, and at the same time not feeling physically ill, though I was weak, very weak. And I had gone to the hospital, and the kids took me to the hospital. I went to the hospital, and I was there for, I think, about a week, I think, something like that. I was in emergency area for 2 days, and then they moved me up to a COVID floor. I didn't know where they'd moved me to, but anyway, I was on that floor, and I heard the voice of the Lord. He said to me, he said, these are killing fields. I said, okay. Then he opened my eyes. And I saw these two demonic principalities. Huge, like 3 to 5, maybe more, stories high. Big things. And all full of teeth in their body. Some little dingy little mouth, very small mouth, dingy little eyes, and was sticking his tongue out, 2 of them. They thought they had somebody they were going to chow down on. And I looked at them, I said, I'm not afraid of you. By the way, I'm in charge of this area now. Just in that tone. I didn't yell, I didn't scream. I'm not afraid of you. And I'm in charge of this area now. I shut them down. They started clearing out the COVID patients that were coming onto that floor were being cleared out. They were brought to die, but the anointing of God was getting them out. On the Sunday when I came, I was going to come to church. The Lord opened my eyes and I saw the Lord Jesus Christ that explained the reason why I was in the hospital, saying, take him to the hospital. I need him there. I found out why I was needed there. Because at that very moment, I became a principality over whatever principalities were causing that floor. The West Wing and the South Wing. I didn't know there was a West Wing and a South Wing, but I found out later there was a West and a South Wing representing those two demonic entities. God cleaned up and I left that place. God calls us to be in charge. The problem is many times we don't recognize the authority and power that God has given to us, and we subjugate ourselves to the elementary order of this natural world. God has anointed us. We have power over the powers of this world. He says, in whom, verse 11, in whom ye also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands. When God circumcised you to be a person of covenant, it was not by physical hands. What did he do? He put off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. What was the circumcision of Christ? The covenant of obedience. When Jesus Christ obeyed the Father even unto death and shed his blood, that was the circumcision that became the covenant between him and God and us. And in that covenant, the assignment was to put off the body of sins. In other words, give me the ability not to live under the thumb of the devil and sinful nature. The believer does not have a sinful nature. We become new creations. All things pass away, behold, all things become new. If you don't acknowledge that, accept that, then the devil will always be able, and the sinful body of sin will be able to run your life, and you'll be a slave to it. Romans chapter 8 tells us that. Romans chapter 6, 7, and 8. You're not a slave to sin. Word of God says that the body of flesh, the sinful flesh, was circumcised by the precious death of our Lord Jesus Christ, by the cleansing of his precious blood, by the covenant of obedience. In other words, Jesus, who obeyed the Father even unto death, is living inside of you so that you can now be obedient to the directives of God. Amen? Hallelujah. We obey God. We follow through with the wisdom of God. Then it says, we're buried with him. Not only did we die in the death of that circumcision. So the circumcision is about his death. Do you understand that? Okay. So now after the death, we are buried with him in baptism. The word is the word baptizo. Now, if this were white wool, because there's no natural gray wool, this had to be dyed somehow to have this color. Now, at the time of the Lord, they will take the white cloth and they will dip it into a red ink, bury it in it, and when it's pulled out, the white becomes red, right? So it was identification. So when we receive Jesus Christ, we identify with him, and he identifies with us. Praise the Lord. The cloth identifies with the ink, and the ink identifies with the cloth. The same thing happens in baptism. When you receive Jesus and you are baptized, his life comes into you, and your death is taken by him. He takes your sin and he gives you his righteousness. Amen? So we were buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him. Not only were you buried, you rose with him through the faith of the operation of God. Through the faith of the operation of God. Watch that statement. Through the faith. So God operated that by faith. Calling those things which be not as though were. Amen? Through the operation of the faith of God, who had raised him from the dead. So when God raised Jesus from the dead, through that operation, he was also raising you and I. Praise God. Whatever it is that he's doing with Jesus, he's doing with us. He says, and you being present tense continuous, dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh. That's what our state was. We were dead in our sins. We were uncircumcised in our flesh. But through his circumcision of obedience, okay? Did you get that? The circumcision of obedience that brought him to death, which is the circumcision that Abraham also had. It was a circumcision of obedience that he was willing to sacrifice his son. You understand? And God connected with that, his obedience. By that, God had quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. So by faith, God is cleaning the slate for you. But that's not where it ends. That is stage one. Stage one is God giving you access, giving you by faith the ability to live right, giving you the access to forgiveness. That is one level of grace, one level of the mercies of God. But the other aspect is his empowerment that causes you and I to now begin to obey God, because the obedient one is living inside of you. So now you are able to obey God, follow his instructions. The Bible says Jesus learned obedience by the things he suffered. Were there times that Jesus didn't want to do what the Father wanted to do? I'm sure. Because he says he was tempted in every situation. But he finally, okay, Lord, if that's what you want to do, that's what we're going to do. There are going to be times when you want to go the wrong direction, but obedience says, not my will, but your will. Actually, at the last part of his life on earth, at the greatest point of challenge, he had to go through that. If it be your will, take this cup from me. If there's some other way, nobody likes to die. Not even Jesus. But if there's no other way to solve this problem, okay, I'm going to go all the way. He knew pain. And nobody walks towards pain. We always want to stay away from it. But Jesus went through it. In obedience to God, and also because of his love for you and I, he knew that by his obedience, he was going to get so many people out of hell, out of the claws of the enemy, grant us the breakthrough, give us a chance to win. And I'm so glad he did it. Because if he hadn't, I would still be living the life of defeat. Who knows? I would have been a drug head or something. But God's grace and God's mercy pulled me out of it. And God can pull every single one of us out of that place of defeat. He says, it goes and says, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us. Every statement of condemnation that was written against my name. Say, guilty, guilty, because he did it. Guilty. Everything, every ordinance, every law that had broken, all of that, wiped off. It was contrary to me. It was contrary to you. He says, he took it out of the way. The handwriting that was against me, he took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. Paid for. I'm forgiven because of what he did. I am delivered because of what he did. It was not my doing, it was all his doing. And I'm so glad that when he went to that cross, not only did he do it for me, he took me with him. When he was going to that cross, he took me with him by faith. He embraced me and he embraced you. Every one of us by faith, the operation of the faith. Michael, you're inside of me. Why was that important? Because, love this. The devil and accuser will want everybody to pay the price for their sin. So Jesus, by faith, took you and I into himself. And when they nailed him to the cross, you too were being nailed to the cross. So if the devil comes and says, why is he free? I paid the price for him. Really? You paid the price for him? Yeah. That does not count. You cannot be paying the price for his sin. He's the one that committed the sin. He should pay the price for his sin. He still belongs to me. And the Lord says, open your eyes and look closely. Do you see him inside of me? Huh? Yeah, I see him. What is he doing there? He was paying the price for his sin too when he died, when he joined himself in agreement with me by baptism. When he identified with me, his price was paid for. That's why Buddha cannot save you. Muhammad cannot save you. Shintoism cannot save you. Because none of that takes you in to die. But Jesus did it. By faith, he pulled you in so that you can die with him, so that you can be buried with him, so that you can rise with him, so you can ascend with him, so you can be seated at the right hand of the Father with him. Everything together. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. The master plan of God. Oh, the devil got screwed. Messed up big time. He thought he was going to get away with it, and meanwhile Jesus was pulling us in. When you're with him, you are forever saved. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. He says, and having spoiled, rather than you being spoiled by the philosophies and the traditions of men, the Bible says Jesus spoiled principalities. He spoiled powers, and he made the show of them openly, triumphing over them in it on that cross. He triumphed, victorious. What an irony. You're looking at him and you're thinking, the loser is dying. And Jesus is saying, if you know the truth, I'm not losing, I'm winning. No, you can't be winning, you're losing. No, I'm winning. Look at you, you're a mess. You say you're winning. Yeah. The language of faith refuses to receive the lies of the enemy. While he was on that cross, he was busy taking care of business. Son, behold your mother. Mother, behold your son. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Hallelujah. He paid the perfect price for my redemption. And because the price has been paid, this statement becomes an iconic statement. Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of a holy day or of the new moon or of Sabbath days. Why is this important? Remember, the circumcision is a circumcision to what? Obedience. Well, before Jesus came, the point of obedience was don't eat this, don't drink that, do this, do that, do this, do that. You have to obey those laws. Now he says, you don't need anybody to judge you about any laws any longer. Now, it is not in not doing those laws. It is in the capacity that the obedience of living life in the freedom of Christ, that those things become non-issues. What do I mean by that? If you have an elbow problem, know what an elbow problem is? That's an elbow problem. You know, you always boozing. Okay. Now that you are in Christ and the body of sin has been addressed, you can walk past the booze and no longer have an elbow problem. It's not even a temptation. Yeah? When I was not saved, immorality was a problem. But now it's not a problem. That does not mean that I don't see beautiful women and my eyes are blind. Oh, that, no, she's ugly. Oh, no. I still see people as they are. They're beautiful and whatever. I got myself so drunk, I was in a coma. It's no longer a problem. I don't drink. How did that change? The saving, working grace of God. Remove that, strengthen me, now this is no longer an issue. It's no longer an issue. It's no longer a problem. I can live my life and walk forward knowing that I have a God who is my keeper, a God who strengthens and enables me to live victoriously. So I don't have to be judged about that. Whether I did this or did that, no, it's a non-issue. But also on that statement is this reality. God is saying to us, don't let anybody judge you concerning meat and drink and days, holy days, so on and so forth. Why? Because that was a temporary marker for obedience. So it says to us in the next verse, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ. Who is this Christ? The obedient Son of the Most High God that lives in you. And because he lives in you, you live life doing what you need to do. I don't drink. I don't booze. Not because the Bible says thou should not drink. I don't drink because it has no power over me. Not because it is evil, but because if I were drinking alcohol and you can smell alcohol in me, talking with me, and I'm trying to make sense, good sense, you can say, it's the alcohol, it's a different spirit. That's why they call it a spirit. Alcohol is a spirit. It's not the Holy Spirit, it's the spirit from that bottle. So I don't. For my sake, and for the sake of the people that I'm around, I choose not to do certain things, not because it is inherently wrong, but because doing the order removes any question out of the way. So I choose to do what I need to do. That is true for every believer. Now let's go on to the next verse. It says, let no man beguile you or lie to you of your reward in a voluntary humility and worshiping of angels, intruding into those things which he had not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind. Well, there are angels, and they are here to serve us. But the writer says, let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility. In other words, placing a particular honor on angels that causes you to be humble before the angel. And God says, you need a different class. That's why it uses the word voluntary. When the prophets or the sages try to worship angels, they said, no, you can't do that. You can't do that. You can't be worshiping me. But there are people today who focus so much on the ministry of angels that they begin to worship the angels. Angels are servants to us. They are there to serve us, to help us, assist us in the work of the ministry. He says these people who engage in deceiving people to worship angels, they are people who are intruding into those things which they have not seen. They've not seen nothing. Oh, there are angels here. Praise the Lord. There are angels everywhere. There are angels here right now. He says they get vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind. It's not spirit. The worship of angels is not spiritual. It's of the flesh. Because the focus is not on the angels. The focus is supposed to be on Jesus Christ. And not holding the head, from which all the body by joints and bands have nourishment, ministered and knit together, increased with the increase of God. It's talking about Jesus and his church. You know how many ministers have been destroyed when they started going into angel worship? The angel of the Lord is here and is telling me this. No, the angel of the Lord is not meant to be telling you nothing if the Holy Spirit is not telling you something. Because there are all kinds of angels that can come, good angels and bad angels, that come like an angel of light. I should not be so impressed by angels that I lose sight of the greater grace of the increase of God. Are we reading the Bible? God is talking about the increase of God, you knowing God more and more, and recognizing then, as you knowing God more and more, increasing in your knowledge of him, you begin to understand, you respect angels. You honor them, but they don't deserve your worship. Hallelujah. Angels are not meant to be worshipped. God is to be worshipped. You acknowledge the ministry of angels. They are there to serve you. They are there to help you to accomplish purpose. And angels can come in all kinds of forms. Yesterday, something interesting happened to me that reminded me of an experience many years back while I was in California. I had gone to the St. Boniface Hospital to see some people there, did three visits, and I came out of the parking lot and this construction, and I had so many things to deal with, so many places to go to, and there was this construction and this lineup. So I decided to take a side street to cut away from the traffic. And in the process, as I'm driving, I just saw, but too late, this pothole. It was about that wide, literally that wide, about 8 inches wide, and about 3 feet long. I went into it hard, bang, and came out of it. I look at my dash, and my front tire was at zero pressure, meaning I had a flat. You know me, I can fix nothing. I can. What am I going to do? I'm going to have to drive to go find somebody, a mechanic, to take off my vehicle. But if I do that, I'm going to wreck my rim. So I see the next street and I park. I just turn in, check the tire. Came out, seeing that it was flat. And a gentleman was right across with a little child and says, "Do you need help?" I said, "Yes, I do, but I don't know what kind of help you can give to me." He came, looked at it. "Do you have a jack?" I said, "Yeah." We go to the back and find the jack, and he goes and looks for the spare tire, you know, lets it down from underneath. I didn't know where my spirit that I had a spare tire. I knew nothing about nothing. And this guy proceeds to fix my car, won't let me touch a thing. I cannot touch the tire. I cannot touch anything. He fixes the car. And I keep on remembering how I was in California and how God helped me there. And he's doing the same thing here. God was using a man who was not supposed to be at home that day. So I was not supposed to be home today. I took today off. And I was not supposed to come to this place. My wife normally comes and picks up our children, but from their bus. But I decided to come today. I said, "I'm so glad God sent you to help me." He says, "I'm so glad that God wanted me to meet you." And he kept on saying, "You're my father. You're my father." I said, "I don't know this guy from Adam." And he said, "You're my father." My need was addressed. You know the incredible thing about it? The guy was not even a Christian. God used a Muslim. God sent a Muslim to come help me. You never know how God is going to do what God is going to do. But God will do what he wants to do. It was incredible. He just decided to use who was there. I tell you something. That man may not have been a physical angel from above, but God sent angelic help. You never know how God is going to do what he's going to do, but he's going to do it. Did God know that I was going to have that situation? Yes. Did he want me to meet this guy called Hadid? Yes. I don't know all the reasons yet, but I know this much. Hadi said, when I tried to give him some money, the guy screamed. He said, "Why would you want to offend me like that? How can you do this to me?" So, what did I just do? The Lord told me before I offered him the money, he said, offer him $40. He says, but he's not going to take it. He's not going to accept it. So when I offered him, this guy reacted. And he said, all I want you to do for me is pray for me. Guess what I'm going to do? I will always pray for Hadi, that God will touch him and do a new thing in his life. That just like he came to help me, that God will send help his way. Amen? And the greatest help is the salvation of his soul. He was raised to be a Muslim. That's his family. That's what he learned. That's how he grew up. Just like I grew up to be a heathen. God can touch every one of us. Amen? So that we can come into that place where we are increased with the increase of God. And that happens in the body. Let me wrap up here with that verse 20 again. And not holding the head. And not holding the head from which all the body, that is us, the head is Jesus. Holding the body, which by all the body, by joints and bands, having nourishment ministered. What is that about? Ephesians tells us it's the work of our love, one to the other. This is what knits us together, loving each other, sacrificing towards each other, helping each other. It says as we do that, it says there's an increase that happens with the increase of God. Now that statement, the increase of God, has two sides to it. The increase of God is the increase of Godness, but it is also the increase of God increasing you so that you recognize, yes, I've got angels, but I got God. If I need the angels to send them to go do stuff, I can do that, or I can go do it myself. Because God is in me, and the words that come forth out of my mouth can change my world. Amen? Do you mind if I just finish? Do you mind, or should I quit? What's your choice? Your choice. Your choice. Quit? Finish? Okay. You said. All right. I think I have, how many more verses? Four. Okay, let me do those four verses quickly. Wherefore, if ye be dead with Christ, that is, if you died with Christ from the rudiments of the world, the systems of the world, why, as though living in the world, are you subject to ordinances? If you died with him from the rudiments of this world, why, as though living in the world, why is it like you live in the world under the subjection of the ordinances and the systems of this world? Basically saying, listen, you died with Christ, you are no longer under the canopy and the control of the natural systems of this world. Get away from that. Don't get stuck with do's and don'ts. Touch not, taste not, handle not. Which things have indeed a show of wisdom. That's a philosophy. in will worship and humility and neglecting of the body. Not in any honor to the satisfying of the flesh. Basically, what the point is this. There are people that want you to think that the fullness of power is available only because you fasted for 40 days and then you broke the fast and you waited for 2 weeks and then you go through another 40 days and then you break for 2 weeks and then you go for another 40 days. Or you do this and you do this to be more spiritual. And what the Word of God is saying is, listen, that's all about the flesh. Because the completion is not in all of that fasting and praying, and that you and I must do. We must fast and we must pray. But the reason is to discipline the flesh. Put it under control. But the real source of power is God. Don't lose sight of that. He says, which things have indeed a show of wisdom. It seems reasonable, yeah? You know, you fast and all of that. You read the Bible, you know, every day for 2 hours. That's good. But if that is what you think is the reason of the empowerment that you have, then you are now working not by the Spirit, but by the flesh. Now you are getting saved by your works. If God instructs you, the key is obedience. Do it. Going to fast? Fast. There are all kinds of reasons to fast. It's good for your health. There are all kinds of reasons to study the Word of God so that you can be an approved workman. That's for your approval. But that's not what gives you the power to preach. I cannot depend on my study of the Word of God to teach the Word of God. I can only depend on God's mercy. God, make me a vehicle that you can speak through. I step into my rightful place to be your oracle. God, I surrender myself to be your voice. Let me say what is right, what is proper for every individual so everyone has something to go home with today. I have no way of knowing what you need to hear or how to communicate what I need to communicate in a way that will capture your attention. But God does. So I must depend on Him. I must study. But I cannot depend on my study. I can only depend on God's grace. Amen? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So did we complete? Good. So next time we meet, we'll just take it off from chapter 3. Rise with me. Heavenly Father, I'm thankful for your grace and for your mercy. Lord, help us, O God, to embrace the truth of your word. Let your word take a hold of us and so transform us. Lord, O God, our faith is in you, our dependence on you, not on what we know or don't know, not on any activities that we do or don't do, but on your mercies. We rely on you now. We ask, O God, for your saving grace to touch us. In the mighty name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Is there anyone listening to me online or anyone here in this house today, I will say, you know, Pastor, I need to give my life to God. I need to identify with Jesus today so that his faith that believed that I died with him and I rose again from the dead with him and I ascended with him and I'm seated at the right hand of the Father with him, that grace will be activated now so that if I die, I know this, that I am already saved. I want to give my life to the living God. I want to commit myself to the living God tonight. If you are listening online and you need to do so, then I want to pray with you. If you are here in the building, then raise up your hand so I can see it, and I'll pray with you also. Anybody here that wants to give their life to the living God? I see one hand over there. Anyone else? Well, praise the Lord. Now repeat after me this prayer. Father God, I give you my life. I surrender it to you. Take it and make something new out of it. I declare that Jesus Christ died for my salvation, was buried, raised from the dead, ascended into the heavens, and is seated at the right hand of the Father. And by the operation of your faith, all of this happened with me in him. Therefore, whatever happened with Jesus has happened to me by faith. I am saved. I am forgiven. I am redeemed. I'm a new creation. The old is passed away, and all things are now new in my life. Increase in me, O God. Increase in me. In Jesus' name I ask it. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. At this time, let us honor God with our giving. If you've not given your offering, your tithe, offering, vows, or whatever, you may do so now. Those of you online may do so by going to donations@gloryandpeace.com, and you'll be able to exercise your faithful rights in God to participate as a covenant person with your giving. Amen. Well, bless you all. God bless you. Let's have the announcements, if we may, please. I guess the announcements only last for this. We shall have a new set of announcements for the new month.
I trust that you experience God in
Friday.
An unusual way in the set. I trust that you.
So I guess this new announcement, the announcement I'm asking for, it might not be necessary. That's fine. Let it be. Praise God. God bless you, Richard. We'll see you on Friday. Enjoy the goodness of the Lord. And now I'll pay my attention to those on Zoom. Good night. See you Friday for the prayer meeting.